And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, and Rock Cod Rick Maxa.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and we're in the Mighty 1090 studios with Chugi and Scooch from PIER, the Flagler Institute of Environmental Research. We're going to be talking sea bass, halibut, all kinds of great stuff with these two scientists and fishermen. You stay tuned. This is Southern California's sport fishing voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it. So what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish-finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel. If you are looking for a powerful, smooth, great casting reel at an affordable price, check out the Shimano Torium HG. It's up to 30% smaller than the previous generation, but still has the same line capacity. The smaller S-compact body design and one-piece die-cast aluminum frame provides more rigidity and lighter weight. Torium now has EI surface treatment and has tested up to 700 times the corrosion resistance of past models. The Shimano Torium HG is not only better on the outside, the inside is amazing, with a cross-carbon drag providing up to 24 pounds of drag pressure from a star drag reel. It has a sealed roller clutch and 6.2 to 1 brass gears. The machined aluminum handle has a larger knob to make it easy to crank in the big fish. The new lightweight aluminum spool gives you better casting and control. Available in three sizes, the Torium HD is the next evolution in compact, rigid, and powerful saltwater star drag reels. Get it now at your local Shimano dealer.
The offshore fishing around San Diego seems to keep getting better every year, and next season should be no exception. The same is true when it comes to Ford trucks. They just keep getting better too. In fact, the new Ford Super Duty has just been named Motor Trend Magazine's 2017 Truck of the Year. It's the toughest, smartest, most capable Super Duty ever. If you've got a big boat to move around, look no further. Super Duty beats the competition hands down in both conventional towing and fifth wheel towing. Plus, the new Super Duty is built with high-strength aluminum alloy body panels that won't rust ever. For folks like us that launch a lot of boats, that's a pretty big deal. Continuous improvements and innovations have made F-Series pickups the best-selling trucks in America for 40 years in a row, ever since disco and 8-track cassettes were all the rage. So whether you've got an eye on the built Ford Tough F-150, or you need the extra muscle of the new Ford Super Duty, you'll find what you need at your Ford dealer. Go to buyfordnow.com to learn more, or stop by any San Diego County Ford dealer. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Hey, great show right now. These guys, good buddies and great people for our fishing community, Chugi and Scooch from the Flagler Institute of Environmental Research, or PIER. Good morning, gentlemen.
The boys.
Great to have you guys. And Chugi, you guys have been busy, right?
Yeah, trying to stay busy. You know, it's kind of easy when it's fun, right?
Yeah. When it's your passion as well as your sport and everything.
If we were
else,
digging
right?
holes, I wouldn't be so busy.
Yeah, no kidding, yeah. And plus, you work for a pretty nice guy, too.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, no doubt about that, for sure. So, first of all, for our listeners that may not be familiar with PIER, what is PIER?
PIER's a small nonprofit, started 20 years ago now. It's started by Tom Flager, a resident there of Newport Beach. He's definitely an sportsman, enthusiast of our both of our ocean and our land. He loves the duck hunt.
He's my hero, man.
He also likes to give back a little bit too.
Yeah.
So we started this nonprofit 20 years ago, focused on marine resources, mainly looking at sport and recreationally caught fish off California. So we really focus on important species like white sea bass, common thresher sharks, swordfish, bluefin tuna. Really trying to address questions and work with the department to help out, fill some gaps.
Yeah, and help them in the management, right?
Yes, help them with managing the resources. Really identify what data gaps exist so we can better manage the resource. The last few years we've been really trying to work hard with Mexico as well, because there's a lot of species that we work on right now that live, they go back and forth. So we share the resource, but it's not treated that way right now, and we want to make sure that we look towards some type of collaborative international management regime, because otherwise you can conserve all day long. If your partner's not, then there's an issue.
Yeah, that's good. And bluefin tuna, for example.
Bluefin tuna
is a good example of
that's
that,
a
right?
prime example, but that one, unfortunately, we share it with a lot of countries.
Yeah.
Not just Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at Japan probably being the biggest partner.
Yeah.
And Mexico, of course, and a slew of other countries. But something like the white sea bass, that's mainly, you know, U.S. and Mexico. We're pretty much the two countries that are harvesting that stock.
Yeah, and you can pretty put a thumb on a lot of that, what's going on.
You can, but unfortunately, we know that they've been exploited since the 1890s, but not a lot of data out there in terms of working together and what's caught in Mexico, what's caught here. And the worst part is it's actually all our fault, because it's all imported here. So U.S. is buying it all. So
we're talking stock assessment with Scooch, and Scooch, welcome. And what's your part now? Dr. Chugi Chubovida is kind of the head up here. Now you're kind of working with Chugi, right?
Yeah, I'm a research biologist there. I help collect a lot of the data, analyze, crunch the numbers, and work with Tom, who's actively involved in a lot of these projects. So
Scott pretty basically runs the white sea bass program.
Yeah.
That's his gig.
Sea bass is, and he lives and breathes sea bass for so many years. Many of us remember Scooch living out on the receiver out in Cat Harbor there, hanging out with
white sea bass,
living with a white sea bass.
That
right?
was a form of torture.
One with the sea bass.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Imagine right now how cold it
was. Oh, yeah, no kidding, huh?
Yeah. No one to talk to.
You picture Cat Harbor's like this sunny, nice summertime. I'm like, this is great. Yeah. Not this morning.
Yeah, yeah, it gets cold in the winter. But, yeah, we had some projects going on spawning and white sea bass sound production. So we're still carrying on some of that research. We put some hydrophones offshore to monitor spawning activity up and down the coast, as well as putting archival tags into fish to track their movements horizontally and vertically in the water column. So
is that white sea bass really as mysterious a fish as people make it out to be?
You know it is, and the tracking data will confirm that, because there's not much rhyme or reason to
it's funny.
Or patterns that we find. We do find a seasonal shift where they go deeper in the wintertime. This time of year, they're harder to find, harder to catch, and that's why the landings go down this time of year.
But they move a long ways.
Do they?
That's the one thing that, you know, you talk to a lot of folks that have caught a few, and they think they got it wired. And they usually will tell you, oh, they're usually parked right outside that kelp bed. Get right on that upper edge right there where the current is. And
that's
and
where they
drop
live.
Drop a mackerel down that. They're just not biting.
Yeah.
So you know what? They move a long ways.
That's crazy.
And they move a lot, right?
They move hundreds of miles
thousands
per
of miles a year.
Thousands of miles
thousands
a year.
Thousands of miles, yeah.
Wow. Where do they go?
They go all the way up above the California border.
No
We've had
kidding.
Fish moving up there all the way down to central Baja. So between Punta Baja and actually almost up to the Canadian border, we've had tracks of fish going up that far.
That's
you
wild.
Know, you know what'll make them park? A squid bed.
Oh yeah,
squid bed.
That's the equalizer.
Yeah, that'll make them stop. That makes them stop and makes them very vulnerable.
What makes them move?
I think water temperature seems to be the primary factor.
Water.
They like that cooler water, the mid 60s to low 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So once it hits 70 degrees, I know we tend to quit our efforts tagging, because they're harder to come by.
Yeah, and you can almost see those, even when there is a squid spawn, What you know they can do as well is change their position in the water column.
Okay.
So we see them do that as well. Like sometimes they'll go down towards the bottom when it warms up, and they have a preferred temperature range, and that's where they're hanging out.
It's a cool fish when, you know, there'll be mega bodies up there, but still you can, you know, it wouldn't surprise you that a half-day boat could be fishing at Point Loma and catch one that's living in the kelp bed. You know, I mean, that's what makes those things so cool is that they don't follow any rules. You know, sure, the spawn and the majority are there up here, but there's squid down here, so there's a bunch of fish. And then every day there might be one on the flats in Imperial Beach or wherever.
Oh, yeah. And now we're living in an age of spectra. So a lot of those fish you'd hang 20 years ago on monofilament, good luck.
Yeah.
Hang a 50-pounder in the kelp, there's no way.
No way.
He's gonna, I don't care if you're using 50-pound string. He's going to wrap you up and wrap you up and wrap you up, and then it's done. But nowadays, it's just, you know, you feel that zing, pow, and that's every little kelp stringer just popping, and then you have a shot.
Yeah, you have a shot. So with those shots, are we, as recreational anglers, impacting that resource?
Oh, certainly. I mean, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Unfortunately, well, what's really nice is this past year, the late Packy Ofield and Tom Flager put together the funds for the first stock assessment. Because in order to find out where you are with the stock or how much you're impacting the stock, you need to know how much is there. And that's the first step for any of these species. And unfortunately, even though we've been targeting sea bass since the 1890s, there was no stock assessment on record for that.
No, this is the first one.
First one.
No kidding.
First
one. I didn't know that.
And what it's shown is that, you know, we had some historic lows. And just like it's already been previously written that the stock's been up and down probably three or four times through a point of overexploitation. It's been up and down. Right now we're approaching a low cycle. We're in the low cycle.
Mm-hmm. Even without coastal gillnets?
You know, there are, yes, even without gillnets inside of 3 miles. There's still a gillnet fishery. And
catch a lot of sea bass.
They catch sea bass. It's dedicated to sea bass. But our recreational fishery catches about the same. So we're, a lot of folks will look around and say, well, there's not that many guys targeting them here. But when you look across the range from here all the way to San Francisco, there can be a lot of hook and line fish caught.
Sure.
How about Mexico? Of course, their regulations are different. How much are they impacting the resource with their nets and
That's something that we're working on right now. That's the problem. That's the issue is we don't know exactly how much is being caught. And you have these camps up and down along the beach. They're usually pretty transient. But as white sea bass become a little more valuable, you know, lucrative.
Sure.
Last year, several of the camps told me that they received the highest dollar value for their pound per product that they've ever had. So what does that do? It makes a little more targeting.
Yeah,
sure.
A lot more targeting. And then there's other issues as well. We have, they get caught incidentally, sometimes in purse seine fisheries. And then there's...
Like a bait fishery or something like that?
Like a bait fishery, exactly.
Like squid or sardine.
Yeah. Squid or sardine, oh, interesting.
Yeah, or the fish are obviously around that bait, and when they make a wrap, they'll catch some of those.
Yeah.
Being a recreational guy, like, my mind just doesn't even go there that a fishery of gillnets, it has to stay 3 miles offshore. You know what I mean? And it's just because we don't ever think of it that way. It's just, you know, from a recreational fisherman, it just seems like such a coastal fish. It's almost hard to fathom that there's a good fishery for them staying 3 miles off the beach, but clearly...
Well, certain areas where the shelf goes way off,
uh-huh.
The flats, there's like probably three different areas in which most of the gillnet activity happens.
Okay.
Especially up there off of Santa Barbara. You get a squid spawn out there in those flats there, you can see considerable amount of sea bass. Not to mention when they move, they can move in that deeper water quite often.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what needs to be done? How do we preserve our sea bass fishery here in Southern California and Mexico, for that matter?
You know what? I think that if all the anglers realize that every time they hoist a 40-pounder out of the water, it's probably a 15- to 20-year-old fish.
Wow.
So we just need to remember that.
Yeah.
And it's because those heydays, and I have no problem catching a few fish, but there are days when we all say, well, you know, we probably don't need 9.
Yeah, right.
You know, we probably don't need 9. We've got 6 on the boat, you know, for our 3 guys or whatever. We're probably good. And I think that's where we need to start. It's just like calico bass fishing. There are times when you're like, yeah, you know what? Especially back when the limit was 10.
Yes.
You probably, or sand bass or barracuda. Yeah. We probably didn't need 10, you know. So I think that's where we need to start.
So obviously the regulation to lower the limit from 10 to 5 on bass and increase the size limit was met with a lot of controversy and a lot of people saying it's going to be a disaster and such like that. What it's turned out to be is it's been good for the resource, and the actual people are now saying, well, you know, that's working out. Okay.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the anglers were pushing for that, and I think a lot of guys are pushing for lower sea bass limits as well. They realize that at times there, you know, no need for three fish. And
yeah.
And, you know, to be honest, even so, there's a few factors we could look at. You could bump bring down the bag limit, or you can also bump up the minimum size. Because right now we're working on size at first sexual maturity, trying to really look at, pin down exactly what size it is, and it might be a little bit bigger than that 28 inches.
Interesting.
So you can, and to be honest, that wouldn't hit everybody that bad. It
no.
It hit the guys that fish the bays a little bit, because mm-hmm. that's the bays and the piers and the jetties, that's where you do see a lot of that 28-inch fish. But, you know, you bump it up to 30, and it might not be that painful.
So will you take this stock assessment to Department of Fish and Wildlife and say, here's our data, our recommendation would be to, say, bring the limit year-round down to 1, something like that? Are you thinking that way?
They're in charge of the management, and they were part of the stock assessment. So they were present. So now I think if this next season, this next cycle, management cycle, they will take this new information and use it, try to look at how they can try to probably make changes based on the new data.
Yeah, okay. So one of the issues that happens is after it's June 15th, right, when the limit goes
yeah.
to 3, that not only does that limit go up for recreational anglers, but it opens up the season for hook and line commercial guys.
As well as gillnet. Just opens
and
up
the gillnet.
Yeah.
Basically has a zero limit. And as we all know that do fish sea bass, when they're in that stupid mode, you can catch 100 of them if you get on the right bed. How do you guys feel about that? I mean, should that be controlled? If recreational anglers are going to take a hit, should commercial guys take a hit too?
Oh, I think it needs to be equal.
Across the board.
Yeah, you need to. It's not fair. You can't really just selectively pick one group and say, oh, we don't impact, or we do impact. And even if you don't impact it that much, you still need to take everybody in consideration.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Our tag recapture data shows we get tag returns from all the sectors: kayak fishing, spear fishing, hook and line, recreational and commercial, and gillnet. So
we've even had one that we got caught in a lobster trap.
In a lobster?
Come on.
The head was stuck in the lobster trap. Yeah.
Wow. He wanted some free lunch.
He likes lobsters.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm blaming him here.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, and several from that purse seine fishery as well. So, and we were talking about Mexico catch versus the U.S. Our tag recapture statistics are pretty even for Mexico and California, about 20% across the board.
Wow.
We've shifted a lot of our tagging efforts into Mexico, so we've been tagging more south of the border.
Yeah, and you find that the Mexican fishermen are pretty cooperative
yeah.
with you?
Yeah, when there's a recompensa for $200 on the tag, it
gotcha.
Usually comes back.
Now, we try to hit every one of those camps and talk to the fishermen and explain, hey, you know what, we're... And they want the same thing we do. They want to see long-term sustainability because they want to be able to rely on the resource year in, year out.
Especially as the price goes up.
Yeah, exactly.
And you two guys are fishermen, and you're fishermen first, and I think you're a lot, you know, those guys are identifying with you. It's not a guy walking down with a badge saying, we're going to take these fish away. You talk the talk and walk the walk, and that's what's so cool about having Chugi and Scooch in here is you guys are fishermen first, and, you know, this was your passion and became your job and everything else, and I think that lends such a different, you know, I mean, let's face it, I think a lot of times when recreational fishermen are met with people that are in your similar position, it's always the, you know, fingers crossed, you're trying to take these things away. That's not the case with what Pier does. I mean, it's for the better good for all of us, and it really is. That's not the BS thing.
We're trying to look for the long-term solution here.
Yeah,
I want them to be just as excited and have just the same opportunities, maybe even more. You know, look at white sea bass. There's a few generations out there that never really experienced white sea bass fishing.
When I was younger, it was like somebody would catch a white sea bass and it's like, you got a white sea bass?
Yep.
It was like one a year kind of thing, right?
And in 2010 or 9, it was like, you didn't catch a white sea bass?
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. Wow, so much to talk about here is sea bass, bluefin tuna, swordfish.
We haven't even started the swordfish thing.
Yeah, the swordfish thing that Pierre's been working on. So much to talk about here with Chugy and Scooch and a wealth of knowledge here.
Yeah, you're not kidding, man. We're going to have a great time. Lots of great information. If you want to be a part of the show this morning, you got questions, these are the man. For sure going to be a great show and some really, really great info coming your way. If you want to join us this morning on Let's Talk Hookup, there's two ways that you can do that. And first is with our local line. That's 858 area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090. That's our local number. Or reach us toll-free. That toll-free line is 877-792-1090. Again, 877-792-1090. Not only taking your phone calls, not only are we bringing that great information from Chugy and Scooch, we're also giving away a great prize for one lucky caller at the end of the show today. And that's a three-quarter day trip to go fishing aboard the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing. Get in. You could either go right now and get on that great wintertime Coronado Islands rockfish, yellowtail, great trip. You can go in the summer and springtime, whatever you want. Three-quarter day trip aboard the brand-new Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing. Going to one lucky caller at the end of the show today. And again, if you want to get through, you want to talk to Chugy or Scooch, 858-457-1090 or 877-792-1090. And when we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Lots of great info coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Walk down the docks these days and guys are eager to show off their expensive new coolers. Makes me wonder what the world's coming to if a guy can spend $500 on a cooler. Oh, well, what do I know? I know this. Those new coolers are a heck of a lot better than the old coolers I used to trot around. In fact, that's what got Paul Cabellin at Angle USA thinking about a better cooler in the first place. His Angle coolers were designed with 2 inches of insulation and a tight-fitting seal to keep things ice cold for up to 10 days. He introduced an integrated hinge so the lid wouldn't break off, durable latches with stainless hardware, and ergonomic handles. Most of all, he priced his gear fairly so a guy could count on getting his money's worth. If you need a new cooler, take a look at Angle Cooler before you buy anything else. It's the original. It's built to last. And when it comes to performance, you can count on ice lasting longer and your catch staying colder than anything you've ever tried before. Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest. For decades, the Kona Kai has been considered San Diego's premier marina resort and spa. Now with millions of dollars in upgrades, the Kona Kai Resort is a destination for travelers worldwide who can live it every day. The docks and services are the finest quality in San Diego, and the Kona Kai is the closest marina to the open ocean. As a marina tenant, you enjoy many benefits, including secured free parking, a deluxe health club, swimming pool, and more. Enjoy discounts at their restaurant, bar, and hotel. If you don't have a boat, there are memberships available at a very affordable price. The Kona Kai Club has been offering members a home away from home since 1953. Members can spend their days on Kona Kai's private beach, meet new people in the club's modern lounge, share a meal with family at Bessel Restaurant and Bar, or pamper themselves in Spa Terra. Check out ResortKonaKai.com on the web for more information, to reserve a slip, or inquire about joining the club. The Kona Resort, like being on vacation every day in your own backyard.
Are you feeling that itch to get out on the water? Come fishing on the American Angler and reacquaint yourself with some familiar faces and make new friends. Captain owners Brian Kiyohara and Sam Patella take pride in every aspect of the American Angler operation, from their loyal and trusted crew to the sashimi-grade fresh fish you'll take home. It's easy to find a vacation that fits your schedule. We have everything from day-and-a-half to 10-day trips and longer. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. We want you to become a part of the American Angler family.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
Ranch is small, you know. It's very personal, very intimate. I don't think there's anywhere else that you could have the old Baja feel and have all the miles of beachfront, the palapa roofs and the stone walls. There's not a room that you don't have some kind of ocean view. You don't give up any amenities at the ranch. It's just very rustic. You know how when you cook outdoors it tastes better? Well, that's Rancho Leonero. It just tastes better. We have paddle boards. We've got kayaks. We've got snorkeling equipment, of course. We've got 12 super pongas. We have dive trips. We've got over 40 kayaks at the hotel. We've got all accurate equipment, very top of the line. And when the fishing's good, we'll freeze your fish, pack it all up, send it home with you. People love it. They'll come back 5-6 times a year. That's the highest accolade we can get. 1-800-646-2252. 646-BAHA. And RanchoLandAero.com. It's unique.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Phones are definitely packing up fast. Everybody wants to talk to the boys. Again, if you want to get through, the best line right now is our toll-free number. It's 877-792-1090.
Let's talk for a minute about the San Diego Anglers Bay Bass Tournament, where you were playing hooky yesterday
with
Captain Doug Kern at the helm of his 23-foot Parker. Hey, by the way, speaking of Parker, I saw Kevin from West Coast had a couple of Parkers on display down there and showing some interest. And, God, Kevin just gets everywhere.
Yeah, those boats are they're perfect. So it's that, you know, when you think of, like, a Southern California rad, you know, fishing rig, that's it. Like, that's immediately where your mind goes. That's, like, the standard are those Parkers. They're just perfect for what we do.
And the guys at West Coast, Kevin included, do such a good job representing that product. And Yamaha Outboards, Parker Boats, they do fantastic.
Yeah, that's where we got ours, and they made it just super, super easy every step of the way. It was awesome. Yeah. We love our boat.
So what happened? Did you win?
We did not win. We did not win. Hey,
man,
like, I claim victory every year, and I talk smack with recklessness.
There's only one person that talks bigger smack than you, and that's Brandon at Fisherman's Landing Tackle.
You're right about that. You are right.
Because he won last year.
No, he's never won. He claims he would have won had everybody that finished ahead of him not cheated.
Which is the
stance he takes this year. Right, but did not win.
Guy,
but did win
the Smack Award. Then.
But yes, he does win the Smack Award. But did win amongst our group at the tackle store. Like, the Bay Bass Tournament is a really big deal when you work at Fisherman's Landing Tackle, and it is mostly smack talk.
Yeah.
And of which will be a very difficult year for me, because although we finished well, we finished behind both of the other two teams. Doug and I did, yeah.
Oh.
Well, we're in for it. Trust me, we're in for it. And I will say, very well deserved we're in for it, because I can talk smack with the best of them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it was a really fun tournament, as it always is. Those guys do the best job, but it was very, very tough fishing this year.
Tough fishing. Yeah. And how many teams this year?
I don't know the exact number. I think between 130 and 150 is kind of what
so
I heard. I didn't hear that from
Dwayne,
but it was, I mean, you certainly wouldn't have noticed that there wasn't, that if it wasn't completely sold out, which it may have been, I'm sure it was very close, because it was packed
house,
as always. It was crazy how it was just meant to be. You know, the tournament was supposed to be last weekend, and it got postponed due to the very poor weather. And it just worked out that this was better tides and great weather, and those guys, how they can launch 150 boats and get them all weighed in San Diego. I mean, think about the logistics that it takes to do that thing, and they nailed it. It was a perfect, great tournament, as always, great turnout, free barbecue, free beer, great raffles, great prizes. It was perfect.
Yeah, they do. The San Diego Anglers, Dwayne leads
and Mike, and the whole group, Lewis, everybody there.
He does that. So the winning team caught it with Calico Bass.
Yeah, for I think.
And what was the pound? It was like
7 3/4 pounds or something like
that's
that.
Nothing for three fish.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I wouldn't say it's nothing.
Well,
I mean,
those are nice fish.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, but when you have 150 teams competing.
That's the thing, exactly.
Somebody would catch a double-digit limit.
You think about all the three-pound fish that are currently normally in the bay. I mean, that's three and change, you know, that's 3.3 pounds. If you can do that over just three fish, that's going to get you over 10 pounds, and it wasn't even close. We had we had that one, the kicker this year. You know, Doug and I got to practice one day. We did a pre-fish day a couple days beforehand, and we had 10.5 pounds for our big three fish.
Would have been the winner.
Come tournament day, our big fish in our stringer and our second biggest fish in our stringer weighed more than our entire weight of our day yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah,
they have to be 14 inches.
Right, yep,
to keep,
yep, same bass limit, yeah. 14 inches in the bay.
Wow.
But
you probably should have maybe concentrated on spotties.
You know, I mean, it's hard. I mean, a 14.
There's some 3-pound spotties in there, right?
Are there? Sure. But, you know, it's one thing to do exactly that, because I'm guilty of saying the same. Oh, yeah, there's 2.5, 3-pounders. A 3-pounder that you hold up and take a picture of and show your buddy looks a whole lot different than a 3-pounder that's hanging on a digital scale. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
doubt about
oh, that's
that.
Three for sure. And you take it back in.
It's like a 1.5 pounds.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and spotties, like when you get one that's above 12 inches, they all look really big. But actually getting one that is over 14 inches, it's tougher
that's
to do than you think. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And then to get five of them. But there were some really big ones caught, you know, and there's no doubt. And you're right. That might be a. It's a good call.
So what about halibut? I know they always have a halibut division. Were there any good halibut?
There was. I thought it was really cool. An angler caught a 15.5 pounder, which is what won it. Several hundred dollars. You know, I don't recall the exact amount, $600-$700 kind of thing. And he kept it in his bait tank the whole time. Brought it up to the weigh-in live. They weighed it in the basket. They put it in their little release pin, and they let the thing go afterwards.
Sweet.
Which is always cool. Yeah. So a nice pitching 15.5 pounder living in the little release pool, and it went back, and it's still in there for somebody else to grab. So
very nice.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to San Diego Anglers, and the winning team was
the Sousa's won it again, which they're deserving
good.
Of it. They're awesome. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be able to pull that off to catch 7.5 pounds or 7.75 pounds, we'll double check for sure. Inside the bay, and not just inside the mouth of the bay, it's been brought back to, I think, buoy 9 and 10, I mean, which is inside the bay a little ways, and that's impressive to catch that kind of calico bass inside the bay limits. I mean, that's hats off to him for sure. And before we finish up, I do got to say full congratulations, Big Sail Dale, who works in our tackle shop, Darren Paslich and his buddy Brandon Nelson, of our little group. Those guys bested us at the tackle store.
Come on,
so I don't
Brandon
get,
too.
Oh yeah, so I don't get to
Big
you know,
Sale Dale.
Yeah, he was the champ for our tackle store bet.
Wow.
So I got to
congratulations.
Yeah, gotta give it up. Those guys did really
congratulations,
good.
Congratulations, Dwayne. Hey, here's Dwayne from the San Diego Bay Bass Tournament. He's got a little add-on. Good morning, Dwayne.
Yeah, the winning team. It was Tony and Mario Sousa. They used spinner baits and a little bit of live bait out toward the jetty there. They figured with the dirty water they would toss spinner baits, and that was their winning combination there.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I mean, like I said, that's an impressive calico bass to be caught inside the limits of the bay.
Yes, and a little caveat to that. Tony Sousa, he was the one who won it in the kayak a couple years ago when his boat. But his boat canceled out. So he won it 2 years ago. This year he brought his brother fishing for the very first time, and they won the tournament there. So I imagine they're going to be a team from now on there.
That's cool.
I would say so. But overall, pretty challenging fishing for most anglers, I'm guessing,
That's what we heard. We had 36 kayaks participate, and only six of the kayaks weighed fish.
Wow.
And five of those won money.
36 kayaks, and that was sponsored by Fastlane Kayaks. Ron and the gang over in Mission Bay sponsored the kayak division. That's an impressive showing of kayaks.
Yeah, the kayaks, they really enjoyed this tournament here, but the fishing was tough. They even said it was really tough.
Yeah, and how many boats overall?
There was 135 boats and kayaks on the water. So about 100 boats and 36 kayaks.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's cool, Dwayne.
Yeah,
great job.
Good job, and everything ran quite well, and beautiful weather, and everybody, I'm sure, had just a fantastic time.
We had nothing but compliments yesterday. I want to thank everybody for coming out and helping and signing up for the tournament. It was nothing but compliments.
Yeah, fantastic, Dwayne. Well, I guess you're going to do it again next January.
Yes, guess what? We're having a meeting this afternoon. We're going to start planning for next year's event today.
And it'll be a brand-new launch ramp next year.
Brand-new launch ramp. And, yes, I want to bring that up. We'd also do the top 25. We're going to invite the top 25 back sometime in April, but we won't be able to use Shelter Island launch ramp like we normally do. We'll probably launch out of Chula Vista for the top 25 in April.
Okay.
Cool.
Great. So, that Ricky, you're in there. At number 23, you're right there.
Be there.
So you got a chance to defend your top title there.
Get to talk smack all over again.
All over again. Hey, Dwayne, and you and the Sandy and Mike Kalezi is because Ellie, all do such a great job at the San Diego Anglers with that tournament. It's a huge undertaking, and I know all the anglers out there to participate appreciate your efforts.
Well, thank you very much for the compliment.
All right, Dwayne.
Thanks,
take
Dwayne.
Care. Thanks for the call this morning. So, Chugi, what's the deal on the sand baths? We were talking about that in the break. I know that's not your area of expertise, but being the fisheries biologist that you guys are, any explanation why sand bass fishing is so much tougher than it used to be in the bay?
You know, I like you said, that's not my area of expertise.
Yeah.
However, I do know they move quite a bit. I know they can move quite a bit. And I would say it's probably forage-based. I'd say it's probably just a lack of course, you know, we're not seeing the sand bass spawns that we did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to be on the freelance.
Oh.
And just, I mean, just.
You come over a meter mark that fills the screen, right?
Yeah, you could catch them on the surface iron. You could catch them in the middle of the water column.
Scampi.
Yeah.
Exactly. A big old root beer scampi. So I'm sure that has something to do with it. But just in the last few years, you take a day like this, though, right during a sand anemone condition where you have a lot of upwelling, it shuts down a lot of fishing. It really does. Everything gets cold and everything gets lockjaw. But if you're not seeing the amount of bass in the bay, it has probably has a lot to do with forage. You know.
Yeah. Not to mention that dirty water never helps.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just coming off of the storms.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you saying would it have been better to have that tournament, if given the same tide, if it was overcast and rainy versus high pressure and sunny?
Well, I think when that upwelling kicks in, the temperature drops pretty quickly,
yeah.
and the fish get lockjaw a lot of the
changes
time. They'll bite good on the increasing temperature, but when it drops, they don't.
Especially a sudden drop.
Yeah.
Especially a sudden drop. You just, good luck. You know, yeah. I've been out there several times. Like, oh, well, let's just go try to catch a bass, and you're like, I can't buy bass.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't catch anything at all.
And you said the Santa Ana condition parallels with the upwellings?
I've seen it where out on Catalina you get a nice Santa Ana day, no wind.
Yeah.
You think
this could be great.
You can't catch a
blue perch. Yeah. Blue perch. Wow. Well, hey, 877-792-1090. Open right now. If you want to get through, there's your chance.
All right. Why don't we start it off this morning with Don? He's calling us from Woodland Hills this morning. Don, thanks for getting us started here on Let's Talk Hook Up.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for taking my call. Pete, Dr. Sepulveda. Dr. Sepulveda, I really, really enjoy every time you're on Let's Talk Hookup. My degree is in biological science, and I really enjoy a fact-based positioning that you always present on whatever topic of species happens to be brought up. So, one, I wanted to thank you about that. And then my question for you is, is your research available to the general public to review?
Yes. Well, I don't know about to review before it's published, but once it's published, so the way we typically work, I think similar to most labs, we'll work on a project. We have a hypothesis that we're trying to test. We do the research. We write up a scientific manuscript. It goes out for scientific review, so we want to publish it in a peer-reviewed journal. Let's say it's Fisheries Oceanography or Marine Biology, any of the different journals, it'll go out to three or four different scientists. They fact-check it. They make sure that everything has been done, all the statistics are accurate, and everything's been done accurately, and then it's published. And then after that, upload the link. It's actually available online.
Oh, really?
No matter what. You can just Google, white sea bass, white sea bass movements, and pull up the most recent paper by Scott and myself, and then we also put it on our website as well.
So it's at peer.org?
Yes, www.peer.org.
Yeah.
Correct.
So you actually publish it on your website.
You have a
nice website where you put a lot of data out on.
Yeah, we have a one page with just the recent PDFs. So, but also if something hasn't been uploaded, you can just usually you just Google. Believe it or not, just Google it, and it's great nowadays. I mean, there's definitely not a lack of information out there. So anything you need, you just Google it, and you can find it. And you can see any of the ones that have been published inside. We rarely put anything on the site that hasn't been published because of that. We don't want to put something out that might not be, that might be critiqued by someone,
sure.
You know.
Scott, I'm sure that it doesn't have an answer, but what's the average amount of time that the projects that you guys have, finished and they're available. What's the time like on something when you come up with, okay, this is what we're going to try and, you know, study, view, whatever, until you're completed with that project? What are those timelines been like?
Yeah, it depends on the project. Obviously, we have some long-term monitoring stuff, like the acoustics work, and the tagging work drags on because you have to wait on the recaptures to come back in for these archival tagging studies. But typically, I'd say 3 to 4 years is a good project turnaround time.
You know, but if you have something that's cut and dry, catch and release mortality of bluefin tuna, that's something you could do in one season.
Okay.
But when you have a tagging study, we're looking at movements, you can't just take what you see in 1 year and assume that that's going to be the case for every year.
Yeah, sure.
So that's why you need to really have multi-year data sets. And not to mention, like you mentioned, the tag recaptures. So we need to make, sometimes we need to wait 2-3 years. We still have tags.
Yeah, we just got a tag back this week from a sea bass that was recaptured down in Ensenada. It was at liberty for 2 years. So
wow.
That'll
Actually,
be
think,
a good
I think
data
it was
stuff.
Tagged in 2014.
Yeah, so 2.5 years.
That's rad. I love stuff like that. It's so cool.
Yeah. Don, thanks a lot for the call this morning. How does one know that they caught a fish with a tag in it?
With the white sea bass, we put an internal archival tag, and that's a data logging tag. It records depth and temperature and light level every 1 minute, so you get a really good time series data.
Wow. Over a two-year period?
Yeah, the batteries will last up to 5 years, and we've got
rad.
Some four-year recaptures now.
Four years.
Yeah, so that's the important tag that we want to get back. That's worth $200 to a fisherman. And then we usually put an external marker tag just to identify that this fish has a tag in it. It has a reward. So if you see a spaghetti tag hanging out of their dorsal fin, or that archival tag hangs out down by the anal fin.
Now, if somebody does recapture one, what's the process like? Say Pete and I are out fishing on our skiff, and, hey, this one's got a tag in it. What's the process? How does the process go from there?
Pretty straightforward. There's a phone number right there and my email.
So, on the tag.
Yeah, on the tag. So then usually, believe it or not, email is usually how most folks contact us, unless we know them. That's always great. I mean, when we get someone that we know that says, hey, we just got one of your tags, which happens all the time.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's a small world.
Yeah.
You kind of know the guys that catch them, too.
Yeah.
You know,
it's kind of.
When you start getting 3 and 4 back from one guy, it's like, oh, wow, you must.
This guy's on him. This guy's got to figure it out.
That's the guy to follow around.
Now,
no doubt.
Do you take the whole fish? Do they just remove the tag and give it back to you? How does that part work?
Just the tag is all we're looking for. Ideally, a size and a, where they caught it, but other than that, just the tag.
That's cool. A tag, but if you can make a weight, a measurement, that type of thing
that's
before you
collect,
that's
the more
helpful,
info, the better.
But right now, we to date, we weren't looking at exact, you know, size and growth. These things actually grow pretty slow.
Yeah.
Most of the fish that we let go, they're at liberty 2, 3, 4 years. They're only growing about an inch.
No kidding.
An inch.
Inch.
And how many pounds?
You know,
maybe a few pounds, but as the fish get larger and reach that maturity size, they put a lot of their energy into gamete production, to releasing eggs. So at certain times of the year, they're heavier, but then once they dump all those eggs, they actually lose quite a bit of weight.
They grow real fast between the ages of 0 and 5. So they're out there growing real fast.
Huh.
Once they get up to 28, once they get to like 32, 34 inches, we see them throw on the brakes.
No kidding.
It's all about spawning.
Interesting.
And then that's when they just grow really, really, really slowly. That's why you have like that really big fish that was shot by the spear fisherman. I don't know.
93 pounder. I think it was almost 30 years old.
Wow.
Wow, no way.
Huh.
So when we're talking about increasing size limit as well as decreasing the take limit, are you thinking 32 inches? Are you thinking 30 inches? What are you thinking?
I think we're right now working on trying to figure out, pin down exactly when they spawn.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the best target. And that's what right now. So right now the department is using a spawning-based minimum size criteria, 28 inches. But that was based on data in the early 1900s and just on a few fish.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the data we've been collecting lately suggests that, actually, to be honest with you, I have not seen one 28-inch mature individual. Female.
Right.
The females are what
males
counts.
Mature a little earlier.
Unfortunately, males, they don't even count. The males, just ask any male. When given a chance to spawn, they will.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Good point. Yeah, indeed. Let's shift gears a little bit to, we talked about red crab, and I was saying how much red crab there was down in Port of Art a couple of weeks ago, and we have red crab off our coast here and such like that. What's the story on this red crab, and how does that play into our fishery here?
Red crab's great. I mean, it's a welcome visitor off our coast. I mean, there's always a few red crabs you can find around, but it's a massive food source for the entire eastern North Pacific, especially off the coast of northern Baja or central Baja, central and southern Baja. It's just a critical staple down there, and it's always there. During an El Nino, we do see it shift north. We see a lot of it. I mean, it is dense. When you can travel 30 miles and you just see a constant band, you know, down at 100, 150 meters, you just see a constant band at 300 feet of, you're thinking, wow, my sounder's all screwed up. I'm getting a it's shallow here. No, it's red crab.
It's red crab.
And you can just, and if you don't believe your sounder, just wait till sunset. Wait till sunset, turn some lights on, you'll see it kind of
all come up.
And that's what I noticed when we were on the Journeyman. I was up in the wheelhouse with Russell. It was like clockwork. As soon as that sun started dipping, that red crab just filled the screen.
Yeah.
I mean, it was non-existent, and then all of a sudden, it was just everywhere.
A colleague of mine, Chuck Farwell, he studies bluefin tuna. He always says to me, oh, it's like popcorn. He says, you just can't stop eating it. The bluefin, they love it.
Bluefin.
Bluefin dig the red crab. And we've seen, that's what we partially attribute to some of the holding over of bluefin that we've seen, is that they love, of course, squid as well, but the red crab is really important.
It was so cool, you know, cutting some of those bluefins that we'd catch this year, and like you wouldn't believe, like it looks like it's just not possible to squeeze one more red crab. I mean, their stomachs are just like blown out. Yeah, it's crazy that you know when you're cutting one of those things up and you look at it, there's thousands of them in there. It's wild.
Yeah. Very little energy to hunt them down.
Sure.
And they just keep on eating them. For some reason, that when they're trained on it too, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And we've seen
that
a lot.
You see them puddling around and you can't get a bite. That's probably what they're eating.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
You're doing a lot of research with bluefin now too.
A fair bit. We're mainly looking at a situation that came up a few years ago when we found out that the bluefin were not doing that great is they were looking into slot limits like they have on the East Coast. That was one of the criteria. That's something that a lot of people wanted. They said, okay, well, we want to be able to keep a certain size limit or larger ones. Or when you have data from a stock assessment that says this batch of fish that are 0 to 1 or 0 to 2 years old are not doing well, you can avoid them with a slot limit. But you can't do that unless you know what post-release survivorship is. So that's what we were doing. It's a NOAA-funded study. We have preliminary results right now, which suggests high survivorship. We tagged about 40 fish last year, and I do not believe we've had a few of the tags come off early for various reasons, but we have not had any mortalities attributed to fishing. So,
that's cool.
Yeah,
really good. I know our listeners want to ask questions too, but I have so many questions.
I know.
I want to get back to the archival tags on the white sea bass, and what's the return rate on your archival tags?
We're about 20% across the board if you look at year after year. I think in California we've tagged over 300 fish and we've gotten about 70 of those back.
Wow. That's good, isn't it?
It's good for the data.
Yeah. It's
good
for us.
Scary for the research.
I was going to say, but what does that say about the fish? I mean, that's almost more than you would want, right?
Yeah, it's quite a bit more.
It's more than we expected.
Because, so what that means is there's not enough fish around. You're catching the same fish over and over again?
It tells you that the stock is limited. And you know what? If you look at the history of the fishery, where you have years of boom and then it falls off. Mm-hmm. It just falls off completely. And now, where we have fishing in Mexico, historically, Mexico was a little bit of a reserve down there, but now there's a lot of fishing pressure in Mexico to export it to the U.S., so now there's no more reserve, unfortunately. So
there's only so many jelly beans in the jar is what it tells you from a tag recapture model.
Interesting. What's the survival rate? Any idea whatsoever? Because white sea bass are such a very, very delicate fish. Yeah, any idea on survival rate when you do catch a sea bass and put it on?
Yeah, we did a study on that way back when on juvenile fish. It was about 10% mortality overall.
That's it.
Yeah, and it's all the deep hooked fish. If you get one that's bleeding or hooked in the gut, the chance of survival is a lot lower, obviously. But
what also can influence survival is I've actually seen someone like Scooch swim out and take one from them. Is the California sea lion. If you try to let when the fish are exhausted, they start to flash a lot. When you let them go, they go away slowly. that thing is going to get taken down, unfortunately. The California sea lion will. I actually did see him swim out and take one back.
Good for you.
Oh, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life. Are you kidding me? How'd that go down? I want the whole story.
It had a $1,000 tag in it, and I saw it grab the thing, and it just had it by the operculum. So it was a smaller dog, so I wasn't too intimidated. And it was outside of range of the wrist rocket, so I went for a quick swim. And
you jumped in and grabbed
got
it.
Got him.
Got the fish.
That is so rad.
What was the sea lion's reaction?
Got one back for the good guys.
What the heck?
Yeah, he said, something's wrong with this guy. I'm getting out of here.
Oh, that's so rad. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. A big block of your phone calls. We'll check in with the Catch Report. You stay tuned. Lots of Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
This is Pete Gray to tell you about one of my favorite places to fish in the world. It's Whalers Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska. For several years now, we've been hosting groups at Whalers Cove, and this is certainly one trip I do not miss. Each year, the Powers family makes great improvements to the lodge that make this great lodge even better. New rooms, new boats, new fish processing facilities, new outdoor kitchen. The list goes on and on. As for fishing, the calm waters around Whalers Cove are 100 miles from any large town, so you will enjoy wilderness adventure without the crowds. Whalers Cove Lodge has some of the best salt and freshwater fishing in Alaska, and there's no need for a bumpy boat ride for hours. You can find productive fishing for salmon, halibut, and rockfish just 10 minutes from the lodge. Here's the deal. The word is out on Whalers Cove, so you want to go? Book soon. WhalersCoveLodge.com or call 800-423-3123. WhalersCoveLodge.com for the Alaska fishing experience of a lifetime.
There's a new kid in town, and they are creating near miracles on boats all over the Southland. It's Blue Seas Fabrication, the West Coast first and only certified sea deck fabricator and installer. Install sea deck EVA from non-skid decking materials on your boat, sport fisher, or yacht, and your boating experience is enhanced and improved. Why? Well, first, Sea Deck from Blue Seas Fabrication enriches the look of any boat, old or new. Next, the Sea Deck non-skid decking material adds comfort, convenience, safety, and value. The possibilities are endless. Let the experts from Blue Seas Fabrication show you how Sea Deck will make your life easier and better on every trip. Their professional staff will custom fit your deck, bridge, and interior with the stylish, non-absorbent, stain-resistant, and easy-to-clean material in multiple textures, designs, and colors. Sea Deck offers comfort and anti-fatigue properties for those long days of fishing. It can also be used on kayaks, boat trailers, and more. See for yourself. Check BlueSeasFabrication.com to see how Sea Deck can transform your watercraft and truly create a wow factor for the next time you head out. Call them at 858-232-4188 for more information and a free quote. Check BlueSeasFabrication.com and enhance your fishing experience. Have you been looking for a live bait hook that keeps live bait alive? Look no further than Japan's leading fish hook, Gamakatsu. It's the little things that make the difference, and Gamakatsu hooks drive the point home with an absolute perfect bend and ideal barbs. Your bait swims harder and longer. And when you get bit, Gamakatsu hooks bite back with a vengeance. All hooks are not the same. Go with Gamakatsu for infinite success. Gamakatsu, simply the best. Check Gamakatsu.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
It's time for our PowerPro 30-second seminar, and I tell you what, with PowerPro, what I like about it is the knot strength. You tie a knot with PowerPro, whether it be a John Collins knot, an Albright knot, back-to-back uni, they hold and work with PowerPro.
Yeah, the line is just not stiff. It's the perfect amount of round. It has good abrasion resistance, and it's just easier for connections than other types of line out there.
Indeed, PowerPro at your favorite tackle store, or check out PowerPro.com.
XSRS 1090 AM, Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Aztecs.
What the clam dunk? That's what I'm talking about.
San Diego sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. As promised, it's time to find out what's biting out there. Catchport today is sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Fisherman's Processing is San Diego's finest, and that's why they're known as the Fish Pros. Once you try them, you'll be hooked. They'll fillet and vacuum pack your fish all to your specs, as well as offer you the best in smoked fish, jerky, and their famous tuna burger. Check fishermansprocessing.com for more details, or you can see them when your trip returns to the San Diego Landings. And let's start off to catch a port up at Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. Talk to the man, Captain Brian Woolley's on the line. What's up, Woolley?
Hey, good morning, guys. Pete, Rick, what's happening? Chugi, how are you, man?
Good, man.
What's going on?
Good hearing you.
Good, good. Hey, you know, this week, more or less, cookie cutter of the last couple, obviously, with the exception of last week. Certainly the weather this week played well into our favor. Beautiful, beautiful week on the water. Again, as our accounts reflected, that sculpin fishing has been at the forefront of our efforts. Honestly, with the current closures in effect, and, you know, the sculpin fishing has really been the only game in town pretty much up and down the coast. So we've continued to have the success needed by, you know, getting every angler what they need to take home. You know, that hasn't been a problem. Fishing a rubber lure like a swim bait, a bigger grub, or a scampi on a dropper loop was a good producer this week for us. That really worked out well for our guys. The water along the beach, you know, it's bounced back pretty good from where it was last week. You know, I'd call it standard wintertime coastal fishing right now with, you know, that 58 to 59 degree water temps. Still some calico bass and sand bass in the counts, a couple fly line bass through the last couple days, which is, you know, a good sign with that water finally working itself out, and a couple halibut being caught here and there as well. Today the boat's out, some fun's out with halibut derby guys, hoping to get a few more fish, you know, keep the ball rolling there. And that's pretty much our week, you know, just one of those weeks where, you know, wait for everything to settle out and hope you can keep the ball rolling, so to speak, and, you know, we're able to kind of do that. So guys want to hop on a boat, certainly give us a call at the landing. The phone number here is 949-496-5794. You guys that want to save some money, you know, I haven't really mentioned it. Now, obviously, we have our two-for-one Tuesdays. You know, half price on Tuesday is always a good route. Certainly, you guys can use the Less Talk Hookup discount. You can click on the Dana Wharf banner ad right there on the front page of the Less Talk Hookup webpage. That will give you a 25% discount. And today on the Sunday afternoon and half-day kit, I fish free with a paid adult. So give that a shot, and the whale watching has been phenomenal. You know, we've got multiple trips out every day as well. So call the landing. Again, the number here, 949-496-5794. And that'll do it for us this week.
Awesome. Great info, as always. Sounds like some good fishing. We got some nice weather on the way. Always good things going on at Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. Woolley, we sure appreciate you getting us that great report, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for the time, and have a good show. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Woolley. All right, now it's time to talk to our surf guru. Gundy Gunderson is on the line. What's up, Gundy?
Gundy.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Oh, great. Good, how buddy. Are you?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
Good.
We're back in the saddle.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
Glad to hear you, Gundy.
Yep, thank you. You know, we had a nice nice cleanup this week. You know, at the end of the week, we got those Santa Ana conditions and kind of cleaned the water up, and really Saturday all the shops told me the guys start coming out fishing. So with that nice weekend weather, you know, we're going to get a little window here until that next storm comes, but good conditions right now. Starting up in Santa Barbara, the squid bite in the rocks was good. The end of the week here, chocolate rockfish, Johnny Bass, a few calicos in the mix there. Carolina rigged strip of squid, Campus Point was one of the hot spots there. So 1 pound class perch were also on the bite, taking gulp baits, those 2-inch sandworms, and then the 2-inch big hammer grubs, Carolina style. East Beach Goleta was the best there. Wiley's reported yesterday one angler got out there to Wainimi and had some perch to a pound and a half on cut anchovy. Just Fishing in Redondo reported some good opali action over the weekend with the guys fishing the King Harbor jetty the past few days, getting some nice opali, and that's something we'll see this winter. We'll see that perch. I think that perch, and then spring, we'll see that perch bite. Opali, sargo, shiners, you know, 7-Eleven, rubber lips, all that barred perch, all that stuff's going to be good this spring. Hogan's reported the harbor was the best bet there. Mostly shorts to just legal halibut, and a mix of sand bass and calico bass, taking drop shot flukes there, fish from the jetties. Saturday, anglers started to hit the beach, and there was a few croaker caught there at Doheny. Pacific Coast reported pretty good action in the lagoons. The lagoons cleaned up. They had a 24-inch halibut yesterday. The bay bass were starting to bite a little bit. Smelt pattern, swim baits, gulp baits, cut anchovy was the best. So it's coming around, and we got good conditions looking into the spring. One note, you know, all the shops told me the beach has really got pummeled by the trash coming down the riverbed. So not a bad idea. Grab a little plastic bag with you, and when you go fishing, take something off the beach with you. You know, everyone's got to chip in a little bit, but you know, 5 years of no flush out, so those riverbeds were holding lots of garbage, so we could all do a little part. So
yeah, for
that's
sure.
about it for the week.
Good call, Gundy. Glad things are going better in your life, and you keep it up, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Yeah, I acquired my first fishing reel, and I did find in the bottom of the rubble a bag with my Trinidad Torium. You know, I got a little melted handle here or there, but for the most part, they survived. So, wow. You know, if it was a football game, it'd be 66-3, but we'll take the 3 points.
Right on, Gundy.
Good job, man.
All right, gentlemen, have a good week. We're back in the saddle.
All right, that away.
Bye,
we'll
Gundy.
Talk to you next Sunday. See you later.
All right, well, the phones are absolutely packed. Everybody's excited to talk to the boys. How about this time we talk to Fred? He's calling us from Huntington Beach this morning. Hi, Fred. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Fred.
Hey, I got two questions. First, you guys simulated it. You were talking about the temperature of the white sea bass, the water that they like. So what do you know about the white sea bass and the Sierra Cortez?
There is a disjunct population up in the northern Sierra Cortez. We're not sure if there's much mixing there. We're actually trying to collect some genetic samples from that region. But yeah, there is a good little fishery at times of year. Typically, I think late spring, early summer, it can get pretty good down there.
Obviously, they're in a warmer temperature range than what you mentioned earlier.
You know, the northern Sierra Cortez gets pretty chilly, especially this time of year. It's that same kind of temperate habitat that the white sea bass like, and that's why they're there.
And the other thing is that we got to remember that you can drop temperature just by moving down in the water column
sure.
as well. So a lot of times we see surface temperature is 70, but they're hanging out at the 59, 58 because they're down, you know, 60 feet, 90 feet down on the bottom.
Huge upwelling in the Sierra Cortez, right?
Yeah, and so a lot of that
a lot of wind.
A lot of that early spring, if you ever try to jump in the water down there, it's pretty chilly.
Yeah, yep. How does the protections thrown out for the Totuava help the sea bass? I mean, are they mixing? Are they in the same zones?
They are in the same zone. They're usually caught in similar fisheries. To be honest with you, I don't know. There's been a lot of work up there because of the Totuava, but mainly because of the Vaquita.
Yeah.
They're trying to protect this really small dolphin that's up there in the upper Gulf, and that's what's really driving. I mean, let's face it. If you're cute, there's going to be a lot of protection
right.
for you. But if you've got fins, guess what? You
know, and the major fishery up there is actually for the Gulf Corvina. It's a different species. It gets pretty good size. We import a lot of that, too. It's good meat, but they're they're about 10-pounders or less, typically, where the sea bass
And a
are.
Lot of our restaurants call it sea bass.
Yeah, oh, no kidding.
Oh, sea bass from Mexico. Oh, from the Gulf. Well, guess what? It's probably the Gulf Corvina.
No kidding.
Is that like an orange mouth Corvina or similar?
Similar. They're smaller. They're really abundant, and they stack up in the spring to spawn. They can actually catch them with it's a gill net, but they actually wrap them like a purse seine. Because they bunch up tight on bait balls and just spawn.
They don't have those two big fangs like the orange mouth has. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
That's but really cool.
They're probably tasty.
Yeah, they are.
They are.
Yeah,
for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got another full hour of Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great information. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Rock Cod Rick here for West Coast Marine and Parker Boats. You see them all over Southern California waters. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore islands. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip, and there they are. Parker Boats of all size fishing in the same area as the sporties. There's a good reason for it. Fishability and seaworthiness. Of all the boats out there, my boat partner and I chose to get a brand new 25 Parker center console from Kevin Kelly and the gang at West Coast Marine, and I could not be happier. Wow, what a fishing machine. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's why so many 4 and 6 pack charters choose to operate Parkers. We thank the guys at Pinnacle Sport Fishing, Season Sport Fishing, One Man Charters, Black and Blue Sport Fishing for their confidence in Parker boats. Take it from me, if you are ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check out their inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
For local and long-range fishing, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among seasoned or novice anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips, as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. You need to check out the Islander on their website, islander-charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 2 to 5 day fishing. Watch the website for trips and adventures available. Experience the Islander difference. Visit islander-charters.com for all the details.
Alaska is one of the ultimate fishing destinations in the world. This is Rock Cod Rick, and every year the one trip I look forward to is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. My dad and I have been going for over 15 years, and I just can't wait to go again. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, the finest fishing charter captains in all of Sitka, and the ultimate value. Sure, I've been to others, but time and time again, nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. You can catch huge halibut like the ones we do almost every year, and salmon? Well, Sitka is famous for some of the best runs in Alaska. We also get plenty of rockfish and huge lingcod. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. And listen to this, it's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except the tips. It's truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Come and join me on the Let's Talk hookup trip in June, or just go when you can. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
XSRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
The best coverage of the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 51 is right here.
Incredible!
San Diego sports leader, the mighty 1090.
Pete here. I was fortunate enough to use the new Simrad NSS Evo 2 touchscreen chart plotter and sonar unit on my boat this summer and fall. And let me say, it's truly incredible. With an easy-to-use tablet-style interface that's fresh but familiar, the new Simrad NSS Evo 2 combines a multi-touch screen with push-to-select rotary dial for precision control and speedy response. As for marking schools of tuna, yellowtail, and more, it's the best. You run over a school, and there they are in full color and high definition. The new NSS Evo 2 built-in sonar technology, including chirp and structure scan, can't be beat. I recently added the Simrad AP24 autopilot to my system. I've had other autopilots before, but I can tell you this one is simple, sensitive, and accurate. It integrates with my Simrad NSS Evo 2. I set a waypoint, touch the screen, and the boat steers to that spot. There's a lot more to the new Simrad NSS Evo 2 system and AP24 autopilot I'd like to tell you, but best just go to your local Simrad dealer or see simrad-yachting.com for more details.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank DePresti of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, the service begins. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now 18 stores throughout Southern California and 3 in San Diego County. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find the location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.